The older man walked across the restaurant after his meal and came to a family that was just beginning to eat, and he engaged them in conversation. And then he put one hand on the shoulder of a child and the other hand on the shoulder of the dad and pronounced a blessing on them. Now, I wasn't there, but I heard the story from the dad, who told me that it was one of the most wonderful moments of his life. And then he said, "No one had ever blessed me like that before." Blessings are powerful and transforming, far beyond the "God bless you" that somebody says when somebody else sneezes on an elevator. We're talking about the transforming experience of receiving the grace, the blessing, the goodness of God. One of the very best blessings in the entire Bible is in a book of the Bible that is not often read. The book of Numbers is named after a census that was taken of the nation of Israel on the eve of entering into the promised land. And there are big parts of the book of Numbers that are just laws. It's reading the statutes, kind of like reading the statutes of the state of Minnesota, which I'm sure you've recently done. 648 chapters. It's not exactly a page-turner. And Numbers chapter 6 is the regulations if someone takes a specific type of religious vow and what they're supposed to do about haircuts and that they can't drink wine or can't eat raisins and what happens if a relative dies during the vow period and they're not supposed to touch the dead body of the relative that died. And then in the midst of all of this is this blessing that the priests of Israel are to speak to the people of Israel. It's in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" Some have called this the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament, although the more technical name for it is the Aaronic Blessing. It refers to Aaron, the brother of Moses, who was the first high priest of Israel, and all priests of Israel were descendants from Aaron. That God gave the blessing to Moses, and Moses gave the blessing to Aaron, so that all priests for generations to come could speak this blessing upon the people of Israel. It's actually a prayer, and it is a prayer asking for God's blessing, except it's God who gives the prayer. So obviously, God is desirous that this blessing be bestowed. There's a fascinating tradition. It really is impossible to verify whether it's accurate or not, but it's still wonderful to hear. There are some who say that in these old times, the priests in the tabernacle and the temple of Israel would walk around the holy grounds and that they would chant this blessing. It was only 15 words in Hebrew. It's 31 words in English. And there is a word in the original giving of the blessing that otherwise these priests never, ever spoke. That God had revealed himself to Moses with the name Yahweh, or as it is sometimes pronounced, Jehovah. But the ancient Jews never spoke that name. In fact, when the scribes and the priests were reading the scrolls of the Old Testament in public, whenever they would come to the word or the name Yahweh, they would never say it. They would always substitute another name for God. It was considered too holy, too high, too sacred to actually speak. It's interesting that we have somewhat followed in that tradition, because when you read the Old Testament, where the Hebrew word Yahweh appears, in English, the translators have substituted Lord with all capital letters. So whenever reading the Old Testament, you see all caps, L-O-R-D, it is a substitution for this name Yahweh. They just didn't say it. Except, the tradition says, when they would speak this particular blessing. So then they would say, Yahweh, bless you and keep you. Yahweh, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh, turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the Old Testament, it was exclusively priests who were descendants of Aaron who would be in this class of clergy. And it was a blessing only for the people of Israel. But in the New Testament, things are dramatically changed. And every Christian is called a priest. So in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So in the Old Testament, it was a blessing spoken only by special priests and only for the people of Israel. But in the New Testament, every follower of Jesus Christ is a priest, and the blessing is for us all. The prayer begins, "The Lord bless you." So it is a request for God to give his special and specific gifts to his people. In those days, it meant that there would be a good harvest of crops, that the rain would come at the right time and not at the wrong time, that there would be no famine. It meant to be blessed that you would have children and that you would have prosperity. It wasn't a call for wealth, but it was a call to experience God's goodness in everyday life. Today, for us, that still means food and employment and shelter and the overall provisions of living. In the words of the Lord's Prayer, it's give us this day our daily bread. Although this blessing varies by generation and culture, because the needs are different depending on where we live in the world and especially which generation we are part of. For almost everybody, it means daily bread because bread is a staple in most diets in most countries and most cultures. So almost everybody would understand what it would mean that God would bless us with daily bread. However, most people in the world would have a really difficult understanding that we in modern America go on low-carb diets and don't want bread. So we actually throw it away, and they would consider it downright bizarre that there are fast food restaurants where you can get your Big Whopper wrapped in lettuce so that you can avoid your daily bread. So yeah, it's different in different cultures and times, but it is still a request for God's blessing to give to us the basics of what we need. Right now, we are in the emotions, the wake of a great recession. 9% unemployment across America. Millions of homes have been foreclosed upon, and there are 41 million Americans who don't have health insurance coverage. And yet, we have a lot. We have more than most people, the wealthiest of people, have had in most of history in most places. And yet, we still pray for and we still need and we still want the blessings of God for our present needs. So if you need a job, may the Lord bless you. If you're sick and in pain, may the Lord bless you. If there are challenges facing your children, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Blessing is about getting what is good. Keeping is about protection from what is bad. There is another parallel line in the Lord's Prayer when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, deliver us from evil." That is, protect us from all of the dangers that are constantly around us. There are dangers of diseases and disasters and criminals and terrorists and 10,000 other risks. At best, maybe we are aware of 1% of the dangers that we face. We drive down the highway and we never know about or think about the accidents that we didn't have. We have interaction with people who may give us diseases that we don't even know the name of. But when we don't get them, we don't think about them. When we don't lose our jobs, when bad things don't happen to us, we don't much concern ourselves. And yet, that is God keeping us. And so, may God bless you and keep you from the dangers. May God keep you from the diseases. May God keep you from the assaults. May God keep you from your house burning and your car crashing. May God bless you, and may God keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you. It is looking into the bright and shining face of God, not literally, but spiritually and supernaturally, that God is light, that his face is bright, and that we are often caught up in darkness and discouragement. And we need the bright and shining face of God. Most of the time when I speak to an audience, it's a friendly audience like you. Well, most of you. And however, sometimes I'm other places and I get to speak to an audience that is somewhere between ambivalent and antagonistic. And it's not much fun to look at an audience where everybody is grouchy and frowning and antagonistic. And I'll tell you what I do. And I think athletes do it on the field and actors do it on the stage, is you scan until you find one friendly face, one person who smiles and is listening and is, you know, positive feedback, and just watch that person. Just block out everybody else, and that one shining face will get you through. And it's the shining face of God that gets us through. When other people are antagonistic and hostile, when we are surrounded by the worst of circumstances, when we see the angry glares, look into the face of God, the shining face of God, and be warmed and be encouraged and be blessed and be sustained by the shining face of God. There's an interesting line in a famous Old Testament story about Moses going up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from the hand of God. So he was there, face to face with God. And the line says in Exodus 34 that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony, that is, with the Ten Commandments in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. That is to say that when God's face shines on your face, that you radiate God. That there is a reflection there, sometimes when you don't even know it, and there are no adequate words, but other people can actually see it when we have looked into the radiant, warm, blessed, shining face of God. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Grace is a theme that is throughout the Bible, and it is the Bible's term for undeserved favor. In other words, may God be good to you, even when you don't have it coming. And sometimes we do think that we have it coming. Sometimes we mistakenly imagine that God owes us. We say, God, you know, I put in all these years, you ought to give me something in return. God, you know, I forked over some money and now really you ought to pay me back with interest. God, I was kind to other people, so you ought to be kind to me. We somehow assume that God is in debt to us. And frankly, we are simply kidding ourselves. God is gracious because that's who God is. And this is a prayer for a blessing for God to continue to be gracious to us. So we owe him, and he gives us more. We disrespect him, and he is kind and gracious to us. We sin against him, and he outright forgives us. We're jerks, and God is generous to us. Now, it would be audacious, it would be arrogant for us to dare to pray, God, be gracious to us. Except God has told us to pray this. If he hadn't, we wouldn't dare. But God has instructed us because he wants to lavish undeserved favor into our lives. And so when we pray for God to be gracious, when we don't deserve it, we, in fact, are asking God to do what he already wants to do. Not to ever think that God is reckless with his grace and generosity. We all know that you can give someone too much until you can destroy that person's life by what you give them. Some old Jewish rabbis have a saying that went like this: may the Lord bless Israel with good possessions, yet also keep her from becoming slave to them. I don't know what you've done that you shouldn't have done, and I don't know what you should have done that you didn't do. But either way, whatever it is or isn't, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This fabulous blessing has only 15 words, but grammatically, it's not necessary that there be a repetition. There are three words in this blessing that are all Yahweh, the name for God. Grammatically, you know, once you state the subject of a sentence, you don't need to keep repeating that subject throughout it. But here it's important because we might be tempted to think that this is most about us, and it's not about us. This is most about God. This is about God's graciousness and generosity. It's a statement in 15 words that uses the name of God three times. So let us never forget that the blessing, the keeping, the grace, the shining, this is all about God himself and from him. And so may the Lord Yahweh turn his face towards you. I love this line. It is about God listening to what we have to say. You know what it's like when you're talking to someone and just pouring out your heart and telling them some really important and maybe private information, and they take out their phone and start to text? Or you're in a conversation with someone and you're just intense on what you're saying, and you suddenly realize they're not looking you in the eye, they're looking at somebody behind you. And then maybe even worse yet, they're scanning the room and they're looking around to find somebody else who's more interesting to listen to. And, you know, it's sad and it's painful when you want to talk to someone and they won't really listen. But by contrast, sometimes when you're in the shopping mall or otherwise in a crowd and you hear a little child call out and say, "Dad, Mom," and watch what the adults do. Even though they're at the cash register in the middle of signing a credit card, or they're in a conversation on a cell phone or involved with, they stop what they're doing and instantly turn their faces to their child and listen to whatever the child has to say. That's what God does with us. We speak to him and God turns his face toward us. It's as if we are the most important people in the world, in the universe, that God listens intently. He gives us his attention, that God himself cares. Call his name and he will turn his face to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Hebrew word that is used here, if you don't know any Hebrew, this is one word that you'll still probably know. It's the Hebrew word shalom. If you go as a tourist to Israel, you'll see it all over the place. You'll see it on t-shirts, you'll see it on signs and bumper stickers and sun hats, and it's just all over the place and frequently spoken. Kind of like hi and bye, kind of like in Hawaii, aloha. It's shalom. It's just spoken all the time. But in the Bible, shalom means so much more. It refers to safety and security from the hardships and threats of life. It refers to an inner harmony, a balance of life. But perhaps most of all, shalom means completeness. It means wholeness. Sometimes we'll talk about another person and we'll say, you know, she really has it together. That's shalom. Or we'll say, now there's a guy who's really comfortable in his own skin. Or there's somebody who is just really centered in life. That's shalom. It's being together on the inside, regardless of what is going on the outside. St. John records three times in the final days of Jesus' sojourn here on earth when he spoke about peace, shalom. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And again, in John 16, 33, Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And in John 20, three different times, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." That is that our Lord yearns to give us peace, for us to be centered, to be whole, to be complete on the inside, settled down. It is the shalom of God. This Aaronic blessing actually has two dimensions to it. It is the blessing upon you. It is the blessing upon us. But it is also that we in turn, we who have been blessed, bless others. Emma Daniel Gray died on June 8, 2009. She was 95 years old. And the Washington Post did a really interesting major article about Emma Gray. Emma Gray cleaned the president's offices for 24 years until she retired in 1979. And so she served six presidents. She had a good job security, and she was around some of the most powerful and famous people in the world. The headline of the Washington Post story was, "Christian Lady Cleaned for Six Presidents." As a committed Christian, she blessed the presidents that she served. So when she would dust the Oval Office, for even the Oval Office gets dust, she would clean the desk and then every time go to the chair at the desk in the Oval Office. And in one hand, she would hold her cleaning equipment, and with the other hand, she would touch the chair and pray for the President of the United States, regardless of party, regardless of whether she had voted for that president and agreed with that president's policy or not. She prayed for God's blessing, for God's wisdom, for God's safety. She was blessed, and she was a blessing. So may this blessing be yours, and may you bless others. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Father, bless now these your people. Turn your face and give your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.